Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for bringing your people together this afternoon to, Lord, just unite our heart, offer our lives as a living sacrifice in holy and pleasing worship unto you. Thank you, Lord, that because you have come 2,000 years ago to be our atoning sacrifice, to take all our sins and to die for us because of your death and resurrection. Do we have this blessed privilege to be cleansed of all our sin and to be united with you, enthroned in the heavenly, to have this eternal relationship. Lord God, such great benefits because of your mercy and compassion. And so Lord, as we talk about today, about your compassion, would you bless this time together? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Yes, I guess the Thanksgiving is, welcome back there, Albert and Jen. We missed you. We didn't know we missed you until we see you. Oh, you're back. But we're also thankful that Sonny's back. And so, you know, we miss Sonny. So it just goes to say that each and every one of you are precious and valuable. Sometimes when you're here, it's like water. When you have plenty of water, you don't value water, right? And we have plenty of you. We forget to appreciate you. But when you're missing, then we realize, whoa, you know, some part of our life is missing. And so that just goes to show that you are meant to be a part of the community and be a blessing and bring the blessing to the community. And so everybody here are uniquely precious, and you're valued and you're appreciated. So also praise the Lord for the WTP. I keep on having to catch myself from calling it STP. We're so used to STP. So this pandemic has caused a lot of change in our ministry. And so we've been doing, instead of actual on-site summer training program, we've tested 1 week online STP. And it was a pretty blessed one. I think the very first one was probably the most blessing, or maybe thereafter too. So we've done a couple in the summer, and because the USC has ended early, Jeremy had the idea, why don't we invest that extra time to do a WTP? So, but most of the work will fall on him because it's USC. So I said, no problem. If you want to work a lot, that's fine. So, but it's a lot of work. This is a lot of work. So not only planning, but executing, and they have to be here for all the activities and sessions. And so both Jeremy and Yvonne has given themselves quite a bit of, they made a great sacrifice in their newlywed year. You know, they would probably want to spend time together by themselves, but they chose to spend time with you who are in WTP. Better be appreciative. Okay, and for the just update on the training center, most everything is being done, and the major thing, but now we're waiting for inspection on the plumbing, the electricity, and gas. And so the inspector is yet to come. But once that is cleared up, when they give permission to now officially connect the electricity to the water and power, WP, DWP, DWP, yeah, Department of Water and Power, for the final hookup. We got a temporary hookup, but we have to get a final hookup. But then when you order that, because of the pandemic, we do not know how long it would take. The gas installation right now took 1 month appointment. So we waited extra 1 month. That means another 1 month of paying the rent. But anyway, God's timing is perfect. He is sovereign. So he's just giving us more time to raise funds. But we've been enjoying doing little work here and there to save money. And so we actually did save a lot of money because we did it by ourselves. So, but anyway, keep on praying for the fundraising, but also for the speedy process in the clearance of the inspection. Okay, so we prayed. So we should go forward. So actually the series we are in are a couple. One was Jehovah series. And I think I have not finished the Jehovah series. There's still more Jehovahs left. But we did it so long, I think we it's time to have another series. So we went into conform to the image of Christ, and so Christ character series. So we have gone into Christ character series, and I think it's, was this the second one or the third one? I've already done a couple, I think. Fourth one? Okay. In the middle of it, I was inspired to go to Isaiah, so I took a short detour about oaks of righteousness. Not that short. It was a 3 week oaks of righteousness. So I hope you enjoyed being reminded we are called to be oaks of righteousness. Now we're coming back to, and last week was a long one, right? I could have broken up in two, but I said we've been away from conform to the image of Christ too long. So I said, let's finish it. So I finished it last week. Sorry about that. But now we're back to be conformed to the image of Christ. But today's character of Christ is Christ's compassion. Christ's compassion. And so when we think about compassion, we think about Mother Teresa or somebody like, you know, who are, you know, feeding the poor, and indeed her lifestyle is definitely worth noting and learning the compassion. But somebody greater than her is Jesus. Jesus is the one who has been most compassionate. But this compassion of Christ starts from, you know, pre-coming of the Lord, our Messiah, and God reveals his own compassion in the Old Testament in so many ways, dealing with his creation, Abraham, you know, Moses, and the Israelites, and so on. So, but one of the passages that highlights the compassion is, you know, Psalms 103. It says, you know, it's one of the favorite Psalms that I really enjoy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefit, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He crowns us with his loving kindness, again, his covenant love, and his compassion, and who satisfies us your ears with good things so that your youth is renewed, like they goes on. So it speaks of how God, related to his loving kindness, covenant love, that he is compassionate to us. We'll define that a little more. Another part of the passage is Isaiah 30, 18, that says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He wants to be gracious. Grace is undeserved favor. He wants to pour his favor upon us, even though we do not deserve it. Only thing we deserve is his wrath and condemnation because of our sin. But he longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise to show you compassion. So, you know, when somebody gives something to you, what is more an act of, you know, wholeheartedness? If somebody gives you sitting down, here, I'm sitting right here. I don't know. What do you like, Jack? Here's a McDonald's for you. But That versus if I stand up and say, hey, Jack, would you like this burger? You know, so then Jack will say, whoa, Pastor Min even stood up and gave me a McDonald's. That would be such a difference, sitting down and giving it to you and me kind of like standing up and bending my back to offer it to you. Actually, Ed did that this week. I was having a one-to-one with Bozzy, and then he was carrying this bag of something. He said, oh, Pastor, did you eat? Well, I only had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, he said, I got a second burger. Would you like it? I said, well, sure. Well, he was standing up and giving it to me, so it wasn't like I was sitting and he was standing up, but we're both standing up. So, but here's God, the creator. You know, he rises before us to show compassion to us. What humility, but what eagerness and, you know, desire to show that compassion to us. Their acts of killing the prophets and the servants of God of the past. And after the six woes that he mentions to the Pharisees, and then in verse 37, it says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protecting her chicks beneath her wings. Chicks, right? Is that right? Chicks. So the hen, you know, the hen, mother hen, you know, the chicken, you know, when the eggs hatch, eggs kind of follow the hen around, right? And when there's danger, what does the hen do? Hen opens her wings and then the chicks kind of comes in, you know? So it's a kind of a motherly protective, you know, action out of love and compassion for her chicks. And, you know, just wanting to bring them in to protect them from any harm. So here, Jesus is referring to himself, how he long, oh, Jerusalem, people of God, how long I long to bring your children, the people of God in Jerusalem, under my wings, you know, to love and protect and keep us safe, keep them safe. So this is an image of Jesus's compassion, you know, that he describes about, you know, how he longed to be that. So in understanding compassion, we need to define it. So first, we will talk about the meaning of compassion. Basically, in the Old Testament, this is used maybe 125 times in different form. Rachem, you know. Rachem, so both of these verses from Psalms 103 and Psalms 30 uses the word rachem. And it really means, it could be tender mercy or tender love. Tender mercy or tender love. The verb form of it, it says to have compassion or be merciful and pity, to have pity. And it's like God is saying, I will have mercy, or I will show mercy unto you. So the word compassion is related to love, and also is related to mercy, showing mercy. So some of these passages in the Old Testament where it says rachem, sometimes they use tender mercy instead of compassion. So in the Old Testament understanding is compassion is having a mercy and pity towards someone who is in difficulty. In the New Testament, I have a hard time pronouncing this. I'm not a Greek expert, even though I took couple of years of Greek. Esplanchniste. So this is the correct spelling. So, you know, I'm not sure how would you... Jeremy, go ahead, the English expert. Greek word just could mean compassion or compassionate. The verb form is oikterio. And to have pity, a feeling of distress through the ills of others. And there's a kind of another form of spanchinisomai, or is it kind of like a derivative of the previous word? To be moved towards, yeah, to be moved to have pity and compassion toward the multitude or individual sufferings. You know, so it's to be moved to have pity, a feeling of distress because somebody individually is experiencing hardship, or multitude of people having hardship. So that's why in Matthew it says, and seeing the multitude, Jesus said what? He felt moved, compassion. He was moved with, you know, mercy and pity. But if this is what compassion means, and it could only be understood more clearly when we look at examples, I think. But compassion is never complete compassion with an inward sentiment. That is, compassion is not only a strong inward, strong inward sentiment. Yeah, that's right. It's not only a strong inward sentiment, but it is fully expressed when accompanied by an act of compassion. So compassion is just not a feeling, just not what you feel. Oh, I feel for this person. Oh, I feel for this situation. But if you do nothing about it, it's not the completion of that compassion. So there has to be an act of compassion. And therefore, if there's an act of compassion, there should be some benefit for other people. So let's see. I'm just having a fun time with this guy named Shane, you know? And he's been reading leadership books. And so he tried to understand the Bible from a leadership point of view. So he's assessed every time we have a Bible study. Oh, that's like Jesus having this leadership of this. He's assessing. But anyway, he mentions like, if you have a lot of desires, but you don't do it, then that's just the empty, you know, feeling. Feeling is nothing unless you could, you know, produce it into an action. So, I mean, he got this from a leadership book. So it's a pretty insightful thing. So, but compassion, if you all you do is feel for someone deeply, and you could say, oh, I burn it for this person. But if you don't do anything to express that compassion, it's not compassion. It's just a sentiment inside that is not complete. So if that is the meaning of compassion, according to definition, let's look at how God shows compassion according to Psalms 103. So that's where we're going to start out with. His compassion, God's compassion, is always associated with his benefits. Because God's compassion doesn't end with just him feeling sorry for the people, or sad and sympathetic or pity, but he, along with his compassion, he acts on his compassion. So here, there's from verse 1-5 has the impact of that loving kindness and compassion. It is, you know, it says, all that is, bless the Lord, all my soul. Bless means praise the Lord. It could be said, praise the Lord, all my soul. And all that is within me, blessed his holy name. So he want, you know, the psalmist, David, is wanting us to praise the name of the Lord. And the name that is mentioned in here actually is where it says he crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. So God is full of loving kindness. and is compassionate. That's his name. And then it goes on and says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefit. We have benefits because he is loving and kind, and he has compassionate towards us. So what benefits are there because of his compassion? Who pardons all our iniquities. So he you know, is so compassionate and loving to us. You know, he pardons all our sins. And, you know, in the Old Testament, that is received by faith in the sin debt that's atoned through the Lamb. But in the New Testament, the Lamb is Jesus Christ. So because of his compassionate work of redemption, you know, all our sins are pardoned. Heals all your diseases. Curses the one who hangs up on the tree. And he took all our curses for us. In return, he heals all our diseases. He redeems us, your life from the pit, and then crowns us with loving kindness. So, you know, he's in the business of redemption. Redeeming us from slavery to sin, to righteousness, from kingdom of darkness into kingdom of light, from uselessness to usefulness. What was his name? That short book in the New Testament, Philemon. There was a slave named Onesimus. Do you know that Onesimus was Philemon's slave? But he ran away and he happened to bump into Paul. And then he was saved. And he grew up, he was discipled by Paul. And they both concluded Onesimus is still Philemon's slave. He needs to return. He needs to return and make things right. He became saved through Paul, but it doesn't mean he should continue to rebel by running away as a slave. So Paul is sending him back and you know, gives him a high recommendation. But then Paul says, he is useful to me, but he will need to go and hopefully he'll be useful to you. But you know what the meaning of the name Onesimus is? Useful. Onesimus was useless when he ran away as a slave, but once he was saved, he was meant to be useful. And so because of his compassion and loving kindness, though we were once useless, being apart from God, but having been forgiven of our sin, healed of our diseases, and God redeeming us, he wants to redeem our life to be useful. And it says, who satisfies your ears with good things, so that your youth will be renewed like the eagles. So because of his compassion and loving kindness, he redeems us, he satisfies our ears with good things. And he can renew the youth, even though we get older. For example, watch me. Am I old or young, guys? I'm old, but I like to think I'm still young inside. But actually, I've seen many, leaders before me who are, you know, old and gray, but they have such youthful spirit. And one of the person, Oswald Sanders. You know Oswald Sanders? He wrote the book on leadership. So not as Oswald Chambers, who's utmost high, not him, but there's an Oswald Sanders. And we were having a staff retreat, and he came to speak to us, and he spoke a message, and I asked him, says, you know, how much do you speak in this? I mean, he was kind of old. He was almost like 90. And I said, I must speak about 3 times a day. What? He's going around from place to place speaking 3 times a day. And in his late, you know, I don't know, mid 80s perhaps at that time. And so I said, wow, if you wait on the Lord, you will indeed mount up with the eagle, like eagle, and we will run and not grow weary, and you will walk and not grow faint. So even though you get older physically, if you are continually being crowned with loving kindness and compassion and you're being redeemed, your youth will be renewed. So these are the benefits because of the Lord's loving kindness and compassion. So if we are compassionate, there's acts of compassion. If there's acts of compassion, there should be benefits of compassion. So compassion is not just a feeling, a sentiment. Secondly, his compassion as opposed to his anger in dealing with sins. So God is just not all compassionate. There's the other side of God's wrath, right? God is a God of wrath, right? He hates sin, but because his people continually tested him in the desert and, you know, sin upon sin upon sin, he was patient, but at some point he needed to bring the wrath, the judgment. They are to be deported to Assyria. They were to be deported to Babylon. So there is God's wrath, anger, him dealing with our sins. So without a doubt, even for believers, if we continue to test God and resist God and continue in sin, you know, God will be, in this passage, there is definitely, I guess, where is it? Okay, it says here, he performs righteousness and deeds and judgment for all who are oppressed, and made known to Moses his way, act to the sons of Israel. He kind of revealed himself. And verse 8 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. So there is an anger and striving against sin that the Israelites experienced. But that's because of the Israelites testing God and taking advantage of his grace. But at some point, the discipline came for the Israelites. Likewise, you know, God disciplines him whom he loves. If you don't get disciplined, maybe you're not a legitimate son. God disciplines legitimate sons. So those discipline can come, but before that, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. So he is compassionate and loving, but he's not always just compassionate and loving. Even though that's more so. He's slow to anger. That means he's more compassionate and more tender loving than he is anger. He expresses anger and you know, strive against our sins. More than he brings discipline in his life, he is slow to anger. So he's patiently compassionate, patiently loving, patiently compassionate, patiently loving a long time. But don't test him. But because he's loving to us, sometimes bringing that discipline is love. Bringing the discipline is love. In fact, I think I like to say that might be compassion too. If he lets us sin and sin continue on in our lives, we know the consequence and the result of that, right? That is distance from God and life separated from God. That's not what God wants. And that is not helpful for us. So that even the discipline actually may be considered as compassion for us. So when hardship comes and God tests us, don't consider that as God's anger only. God is angry towards sin, but he's compassionate towards us. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. You heard that, right? Don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. But same thing is God hate the sin, so he's angry at the sin. But he loves the sinner, and he brings even discipline. But before that is compassion. So compassion is even more, you know, understandable how patient and kind and loving he is in keeping us in, you know, protective place. God's protection put us under his wing. But it's in contrast to his anger and dealing with our sin. Okay, his compassion is as a father's compassion on his children. And so, actually, I forgot to cover onto verse 12, but that I'll let you read that. Verse 13 says, just as the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows the frames, and he is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his day is like grass. As a flower of the field, he flourishes. And when the wind has passed over it, it is no more. Its place acknowledges it no longer. But his loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. So God's compassion is like a compassion of a father has on his children. I guess the person who could most understand that here is Ed. Ed, you have two children, right? How much do you love them?
Very much.
You know, you love them very much, and because you love them, you love them when they're cutesy and nice and doing good, but you still love them when they do slightly naughty things. But you love them so much that if they continue to do naughty things, what do? And of course, there's a wise way to do that without being angry, you know. I heard parents say, you know that I love you, before they discipline, you know that I love you. You know why I need to discipline you, right? Help them to understand why I'm going to have to give you some spanking, all right? And then they spank them. So children know that they're not just being spanked for no reason. That's the thing when kids get confused. When the parents keep on spanking him for no reason or without explanation, they're just kind of confused. Why am I being beaten? You know, and so they get kind of slightly off when they grow up. But because you love your child like a father, you know, you would do anything that would be helpful for your two girls. Is that right? And I know that, you know, with Elise, that, you know, you had to get some special education things. And I saw you guys read and research, and God even provided a very appropriate, you know, kind of education setting. You even met a guy in Long Beach who had the same program, and he made it to master's program in Long Beach, who had autism, you know. So, but now it seems like Elise has caught up. She's saying lots of long sentences, and it seems like she's really great. Praise the Lord. I told him that. I told him this is temporary. She's going to catch up right away. What did I say? It's actually happening. So, but, you know, your love for your child, your children, is a father's love. Nothing you would not do, but only for their benefit. Whether it be being patient and kind and gentle, or whether it requires some discipline. But God's compassion is as a father's compassion on his children. And later on, when Elise and Lydia grows, guess how far the compassion is going to go? When they get married, you're going to be like, oh, my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. It's going to go from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. So God's compassion is for you and your children and their descendants thereafter. His loving kindness is everlasting to everlasting. Righteousness to children's children. So his compassion will continue on to your future generation. That's what God's compassion is about and wants to demonstrate for us in our lives. Promise also. Lastly, in God's compassion, his compassion is for all who keep his covenant, who remembers his precepts to do them, who obey and do his will. Okay, so this is also extending to angels and his host. So his fatherly compassion extend to those who fear him. It says, actually, I mentioned the word fear, verse 13 and 17. His compassion on those who fear him. Those who fear him. Not fearing anything in the world or other things, but fearing God. Caring what God thinks. Not caring about what the world thinks or what you think about yourself or what other people think about you, but caring what God thinks. Fearing God. And your righteousness, children, those who keep his covenant. His compassion is for those who fear him, keep his covenant. And the next one, remembers his precept to do them. Remembers his precept to do them. And the next three verses, it related to angels and hosts, but it also is true for people. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels, mighty in strength, who perform his words. The angels perform his word, and they are blessed. Obeying the voice of his word. Angels are blessed because they perform his word and obeys the voice of the word. Bless is the Lord, his heavenly host, you all hosts who serve him, and doing his will. Heavenly hosts are abundantly blessed because there's no sin up there. Those who sin was already judged, and the dark angels are here. But in the heavenly angel, they're all perfectly obedient, serving God and performing his word. And his sovereignty rules over all. Actually, as another side point is, you know, God is sovereign over all to be compassionate to us. I used to say, what is the purpose of his sovereignty? Why is he in control of everything? So that he wants to love us. He controls all things for the purpose of loving us. And in the same way, he is sovereign over all things so he can show compassion to us. To those who fear him, to those who keep covenant, and who remembers his precepts to do them, who obeys him, and to do his will. So, in this way, we experience God's compassion. I think I'm going to end it here. Because if I go through the next section, it's going to go through another 40 minutes. So let's start with the meditation of how God is compassionate to us. And so how can we learn from God's compassion? The purpose of this is how can we imitate Christ's compassion, which is also God's compassion in the Old Testament. And when we look at Christ, we see God the Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning or this afternoon to be able to reflect on God the Father's compassion all throughout the Old Testament. There are so many examples that we can talk about, but all because you are committed to love us with a covenant love. And you express that with deep sense of grace and mercy. And Lord, even though we are but dust and like grass that withers away, wind blows and we are no more, somehow you care for us. And Lord, in our weaknesses, you are compassionate towards us. And Lord, in times of need of discipline, you do that also with loving kindness, with compassion. So Lord God, would you help us to be mindful of you and be those who fear you, who are concerned about what you think. That we would be ones who would keep the covenant, remember the precept to do them and to obey you and to do your will, so that we may enjoy more of your greater blessings of your compassion, Lord. So thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.